Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this evening we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, Text 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti puravakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Translation. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service. The Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastuchyadeshtani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaurabhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, of course, this is very wonderful verse, and actually it is a verse which we discuss from time to time. Such an important verse and such a very wonderful verse. Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. Krishna is not simply an authority figure who feels he can just take service and that he's not really so much bound to reciprocate. Krishna is very mindful of the service which devotees do, and he always remembers that. As we've also mentioned on many occasions, Jiva Goswami, in one of his books, Sankalpa Kalpa Drima, very nice book, Jiva Goswami makes the point that even though Krishna is so vast, he's unlimited, like an unlimited ocean, but still, he never forgets even the smallest drop of service rendered by a devotee. Even though he's so great, he's like an unlimited ocean, and one drop of water added to an unlimited ocean, or taken away from, it's not really going to make any difference. When something is unlimited, no matter how much you add, it remains the same. Yes, so this is Krishna. When the devotees, when anyone renders some service, Krishna notes it. It goes in his book. Krishna has his little black book he carries around with him. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Welcome. Make yourselves comfortable. Yes, so this is Krishna. He's not ungrateful. And he is a very interactive type of person. perhaps even proactive in the ways in which he interacts with his devotees. It's very amazing. So here Lord Krishna is talking about how he, if someone renders some service in a very nice way, from the heart, with love, then Krishna is saying here how he reciprocates with that. When the devotee does his or her best, really trying their best to please the Lord and making an effort to do like that, then Krishna does his best. And what is his best is he gives the devotee knowledge, understanding, by which the devotee can come to him. This is when Krishna wants to do the best. Krishna can give anything. He can give material things also. And sometimes he does give his devotee something material. But when Krishna wants to give the best he's got to give, just think, if you were to give the best thing you could, what would that be? Krishna, when he wants to give his best, this is what he gives. He gives the understanding by which people, devotees, can come to him. When he wants to give his best, when he wants to give his best, he does not just give something material, some money or some type of material comforts. When Krishna wants to give his best, he doesn't bother with things like that. They are far from his best. Despite what materialistic people may think, what is the best thing I could get from God? Krishna, if it is up to him, what is the best thing I can give? This is what he gives. That understanding. So when Lord Krishna sees that the devotee is rendering service sincerely and trying to be sincere, then Krishna's heart becomes softened. It is said in Nectar of Devotion that some people have hearts like, what is the first one? I think, lac, shellac. Some people have hearts like that. Means devotees, actually, have hearts like shellac. You know, the Pandavas, they were given a house, a palace, actually, and by someone from Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana's side. And they're trying to understand, the Pandavas trying to understand, why have they given us this house? This is so, so much not in keeping with their normal attitudes. What has come over them? They went into the palace and then they realized, wait a minute, this is a very unusual palace. What is this? It is made of lac. Why? Because lac is flammable, is highly flammable even. But basically it is hard when it is just in its raw state on its own. Lac is hard. Therefore they're able to build a house of it. But then shortly afterwards they found out why that house had been built in that way, because it was meant to be a trap for them, a death trap, that one night they would go to take rest, to sleep, and someone would go and set the house alight, and it would just quickly blaze, and that would be it. They would not be able to escape, and that would be the end. However, they found out just before, so they're able to make an escape. So anyway, some devotees' hearts are said to be like lac. They are a bit hard. Not like rock. That's really hard. But still, hardness is there with lac. But when there's some fire, lac can melt. In this particular example, the idea is that when there's some fire, then lac may melt. So some devotees, their hearts are like that. They may be a little hard, but when there's some fire, what does that fire mean? It means some Krishna conscious stimulation. Some very nice kirtan. I'll never forget the kirtan at the VITS, BYS, on the last day of their year some weeks ago. What a kirtan that was. And I could see quite a few hearts were melting. Yes. It just really, it had some real transcendental shakti, and everyone just became submerged. Hare Krishna. Please come in if you can. But this devotee with a heart like lac, even though the heart can melt when there's some fire, but generally the idea is that the heart of lac is generally hard. Hare Krishna devotees, welcome. And it takes some fairly strong stimulation for that heart-like lack to melt, although it can. Then Nectar of Devotion talks about another devotee. There are three types of devotees with three types of hearts. One devotee has a heart like butter. Lack will only melt when there really is some fire. If it's just some normal weather conditions, then the lac remains hard. But butter, if the weather's a little warm, then you just put the butter in the room, the butter may start melting. It melts easier than lac. So this devotee then, and butter, butter just generally, of course if you put it in the fridge that's one thing, but when butter is just sitting, butter is prone to be soft or, easily becomes soft at least. And then once there is some warmth, doesn't have to be like fire, but some warmth, it starts melting. So like this, the fire, of course, again, is some Krishna conscious stimulation, some nice Krishna conscious activity is going on. And this heart, which is, prone to be soft anyway, then very quickly it starts to melt. And then there's a third type of devotee with a third type of heart. That devotee, third type, has a heart of nectar. It's always liquid. Doesn't need any special conditions. Just ordinarily, nectar is liquid. And as such, it is immediately subject to any movement, any type of influence, or a little bit of pushing or shaking like that. Then the nectar will move and may splash out. So this is a very advanced devotee. Very advanced devotee, his or her heart is always not just soft, but liquid like nectar. And as soon as there's even a hint of something Krishna conscious, then some movement takes place within that heart. So Krishna, his heart, he has the original heart like nectar. Krishna is highly sensitive to how he's treated. Where do we think our tendency to be quite sensitive or sometimes highly sensitive under certain circumstances, where do you think that has come from? It has come from Krishna. Yes, and Krishna is very, very sensitive to his devotees. And just like we mentioned from Jiva Goswami, he said that Krishna, even though he's like so great, like an unlimited ocean, that he never forgets even the smallest drop of service. And Krishna always feels himself indebted to the devotee. Krishna is not feeling that I'm such an important person, and therefore it is only right that they serve me, and if they don't serve me, they must be wrong. Krishna doesn't really feel like that. But Krishna feels, he appreciates so much, he becomes indebted to the devotee, even for a little service. And in this way then, he reciprocates. And even, of course, we know, in the 10th canto, there is the description of Lord Krishna with the gopis. And the gopis come to Krishna at night, and they're slightly disturbed in a transcendental way, and sort of accusing Krishna a little bit, that, you know, what are you doing? We're doing this, we're doing that, what are you doing? Little bit of reproach in their voices. But then Krishna explains to them, actually, because of your service, I have become indebted to you. Even to the point that na paraye ham, famous little line from one of those verses, I'm not able to repay my debt to you. Just see. Krishna's sincerely feeling like this. You know, the South African government, they're big people in a certain sense, and everybody has to serve them in different ways, particularly pay taxes and obey the laws. But you never hear of the state president or some big authority saying to the public, na parayeha. You're doing so much for us. You're obeying the laws so nicely, paying your taxes so nicely, that we just don't know how to reciprocate. It's just beyond us. Yes. So the government, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, or if you break the law, of course not paying your taxes is also breaking the law. But if you do like that, then they come and they chastise you, and you may get locked up. So, but on the positive side, if you obey the laws, if you pay the your taxes, they never appreciate that. You'll never find a traffic officer stopping you as you drive down the street and giving you a congratulatory letter. Thank you, you drove within the speed limit. Thank you so much, we appreciate it. Doesn't happen. They just don't give you a speeding ticket, that's all. So it's all negative. And there's really nothing, I don't know, maybe sometimes there is something a little bit positive, but otherwise it's really overwhelmingly negative how they interact. But not Krishna. Na parayeham. The devotees, and the devotee is a small living entity compared to Krishna. So the sincere devotee is making big, big effort to please Krishna. And even though Krishna is unlimited, still he feels he cannot reciprocate adequately for the service of just one devotee, one nice devotee. And how many nice devotees are there? It's really a lot. And Krishna feels like that with all of them. So this is Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Of course, that term in and of itself is very indicative and interesting. Godhead, that word, I don't know about you, but I never heard that word until I contacted Krishna consciousness. I never heard it used or conceived that there could be such a word. Basically, it means the highest feature of God, of the Absolute Truth, is the Godhead. But Krishna is the personality of Godhead. This means, the point obviously is that his personality, the nature of his personality, is really something most extraordinary to be, in order to be noted in that way. In this title, which is the supreme title, basically, the supreme personality of Godhead. Not so much the supreme body of Godhead, the supreme intelligence of Godhead. They're all there, and they're all most glorious and wonderful. But Srila Prabhupada has given us this little title for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, means that, of course, all his different characteristics, features of his nature, they're all very exceptional and uniquely, totally uniquely exceptional and even unlimited also. But really, out of all of them, the personality of Krishna, that is the most outstanding. What type of personality he is, what type of person he is, his internal condition, psychologically, emotionally, and like this, in terms of relationship, in terms of interacting on the basis of how he is treated. This is all there in the personality of Godhead. Very amazing, very wonderful. So Krishna then, this verse, chapter 10, verse 10, is making this point that Krishna, when he wants to do the best that he can for his devotee, then he has a specific thing reserved. If he doesn't want to do his best, but he wants to do something, then there'll be something else. But if he really wants to do his best for a devotee who is trying his or her best, this is what Krishna does. He gives understanding by which the devotee can come to him. He doesn't just give money. Some other times he does give money, actually, to his devotee. Of course, not for their material enjoyment, for them to use in devotional service, but still he gives money. And sometimes he does something like saves the devotee's life, helps the devotee out in some tricky, difficult situation. So that's also there. And that's nice. That's also part of Krishna, the personality of Godhead. But when the devotee is really given their utmost and in all sincerity tried to please Krishna, heart and soul, then Krishna appreciates this devotee has done their maximum, so I must do my maximum. And what does he do then? What do you think? Instead of a Toyota, a Rolls Royce. Instead of 10 rand, maybe $10 billion or something. We were just talking last night, was it? I think it was. Anyway, just in the last few days at least, that maybe it was yesterday morning, that Krishna, he we were saying the richest person in the world, maybe Bill Gates, who knows, maybe there's some other person now, but anyway, he's good enough as an example. He possesses something like $50 billion. I think that may be more than all of us put together. Are you doing well? Nowhere close. So, but the thing is, on this planet, apparently just recently I saw something, just a little while ago. Now the population of the planet is 7 billion people. You know, I really can't imagine that they counted them all. But I guess it's some sort of estimate, guesstimate type of thing. Anyway, let's say, okay, 7 billion people. If you're so ultra, ultra rich, you have $50 billion. And if you were to, we were talking about, what was it?
Service to man is service to God.
Oh yeah, service to man is service to God. Service to man is service to God. If you were really going to try and serve humanity and please humanity, and, you know, because there's 7 billion of them, it would be quite an exercise. But the thing is, Bill Gates, he has apparently $50 billion. But if he were to distribute it in an effort to serve all of humanity, means everybody would get approximately $7 or thereabouts. And who's going to be satisfied with that? Certainly no one is going to think that, oh, this is just so wonderful. Imagine on your birthday someone gives you a present, you know, $7. Many people would not be impressed. They'd think, what sort of present have you given me? Yeah, perhaps I shouldn't say that. But certainly many people would think like that. That it's not really a very generous type of present. And, yeah, so maybe they use $7 to buy some sort of, it wouldn't even be a very good meal, really, just some sort of relatively inexpensive meal. But then 24 hours later, they need another meal. And whatever they may have felt positively from the $7, it'll definitely be gone by then. Yes. So, but Krishna, when he sees the devotees really trying his or her best, according to their capacity, then Krishna wants to give his best. There's a nice purport of Baladeva Vijayabhushan in Bhagavad Gita, in which, I can't remember exactly which verse, but one of the verses in which Krishna talks about how he reciprocates. And Baladeva Vijayabhushan expresses himself as if Krishna is speaking. And he says that Krishna says that my devotee loves me so much that even though I am all-knowing, omniscient, sarvajna, I'm omniscient, but still my devotee loves me so much that even though I am omniscient, still I cannot understand how much my devotee loves me. Therefore I reciprocate in the same way, unlimitedly. So it's very deep. These things are very deep. So anyway, back to this verse, Krishna is saying, if the devotee is doing so nicely like that, and Krishna feels he wants to do very nicely and do the maximum for the devotee, then Krishna says here, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna feels, this is the best I can do. I cannot really do more. At least for the aspiring devotee, this is such a boon such a blessing to be able to understand how to approach Krishna. It's just mind-boggling, actually. So like this, the devotee engages in devotional service day by day on an ongoing basis, and Krishna is supplying understanding, more understanding, understanding of this, understanding of that, and understanding more and more on and on. And it all has a cumulative effect, of course. And eventually, one day, the devotee wakes up in the morning, and there is Krishna. You know, there's one in Vrajmandala. There is a place called Badrinath. Just a matter of a few weeks ago, we went to the Badrinath in the Himalayas. That was quite something. It was quite amazing, actually. So anyway, in Vrajmandala, there's also a Badrinath, which is also, sort of little mountainous type of area. And there is one Kund. What's the name of that Kund? No, the other one. Up the valley. Anyway, there's one Kund there. And there was one devotee doing his bhajan, sadhana, in Krishna consciousness up there.
Devakund?
I think it's, Deva Sarova. So there he was. His name was Ribu Muni. The Russians always laugh when we say that, because Riba means fish. Am I right? Yeah. So anyway, that's okay. That was his name. What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's Shakespeare. Anyway, that was his name. You know, you've got to have some name. So. So there he was. And his thing was, he would just sit there by this kund and chant and remember the Lord. And the Lord Radha and Krishna would appear in his heart. And he would just enter into the pastimes and interact with them. And then later would come out of the meditation and then go back into it. So it was very wonderful. Then one day he went into the meditation, or he sort of went through the procedures for entering into the meditation, but he couldn't. He went into the meditation, but he couldn't see Krishna, Radha and Krishna. They couldn't understand what happened. Why can't I see Radha and Krishna? I see them every time. So then he tried more. He tried more. But same situation. Couldn't enter into the meditation, really. So he tried more. Same thing. So he came to the point of feeling, sure, you know, I don't know what to do. And he opened his eyes, and there were Radha and Krishna standing in front of him. So, yes. So Krishna, he does his best. If the devotee does his or her best, Krishna does his best. And for the aspiring devotees, this means to give understanding so we can make progress step by step. Because without that understanding, if we're trying to do something but we don't really understand and we can't find out, then inevitably we will do the wrong thing. There's generally only one right way to do something, but there may be many wrong ways you could try to do the one thing. So, so that understanding, to get that understanding, is such an essential part of Krishna consciousness. It absolutely has to be there. Otherwise, there's no hope, really. There's no hope. So particularly for the aspiring devotees then, Krishna gives his special mercy in the form of that understanding. And let me just close by mentioning one little story some of you I'm sure will have heard, connected with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that one big Hindu intellectual, he was a lecturer, maybe even the dean or vice dean or something like that, of the Banaras Hindu University. It's like officially a Hindu institution. So he's, you know, a big Hindu intellectual. He came to visit Srila Bhaktisiddhanta because he had some big Hindu intellectual questions. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was well known as big scholar, big acharya. So this man came to see him with his big questions. And so he was brought in to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that, you know, I'm really very busy right now, but I won't be so long. I'll call for you, and then you can come, and then we'll discuss. But in the meantime, why don't you go and ask, you see those boys, young brahmacharis over there, why don't you go ask them, see what answers they give you? So, you know, the big Hindu professor with his big Hindu questions coming to the big, big acharya gets sent to the young boys who are over on the other side cleaning the arati paraphernalia. But he thought, oh, well, okay. So over he went and he asked them. And they told him, you know, we're busy. We're cleaning the arati paraphernalia. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time, so. But when we're finished, okay. But then they said, well, you know what? We'll finish quicker if you help us. And the man was a little taken aback by how he's, you know, getting dealt with in these unusual ways. But then he thought, oh, okay. So he started helping clean the arati paraphernalia, polishing and so on. In other words, engaging in some devotional service. So as he did that, suddenly he found the answers to his questions started just appearing in his mind, apparently out of nowhere. Until by the time he finished, by the time they all finished cleaning the arati paraphernalia, all his questions were answered. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came over and said, all right, I'm free now. What are your questions? And the man said, well, I got answers for all the questions. It was amazing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quoted a verse, if I remember correctly, it's from the second chapter of the first canto, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayad Ahaitakam. If you remember, if you render devotional service to Vasudeva Krishna, then causelessly knowledge and detachment manifest from within the heart. Causelessly. Causelessly means without a material cause. But of course we understand there is a cause, but it's not a material cause. The cause is the same thing, it is Krishna. He's giving the understanding because you are rendering some service. So therefore Krishna is giving some understanding. And this is what happened with this man. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta acknowledged that. So this is Krishna. When he wants to do his best and give his best and really help as much as he can, he gives understanding so we can come to him. And that helps the most. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please forgive me, I'm a little tired somehow. I didn't think I would be. So there you are. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
And what's our program?